Let me just get that level right. I want to first acknowledge others who've been involved in this work, and two who are in this room, Adrian Griffin and Danielle Weber, who are colleagues from AUCD, along with Jennifer Bogan, and work on the Act Early Initiative, and were instrumental in bringing this from a concept to now a very viable and active network, which you'll hear about in the next few minutes. The work that's done at the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities follows the public health model that's used throughout CDC for identifying research areas and priorities. And obviously, we start with surveillance and find out what the magnitude of the problem is. We use research to support those findings and then use both the surveillance and statistics that we get and the studies that give us guidance to develop prevention action. What I'm going to be talking today is about Learn the Signs, Act Early, which is one of those CDC public health response to a pressing problem. And autism is, as you've heard from Dr. Kogan and the other presenters, because of the prevalence of ASD in the United States and the increasing number of children who are identified, an urgent public health concern. We're looking at both the number of children who are receiving services under a specific classification, children who are diagnosed in a medical or clinical setting, but together with that, and for multiple reasons, which is too broad to go into and is not the focus of this presentation, but it's leading to increased concerns in communities and increased demand for services. And what we can say for certain is that improving early and accurate identification makes a difference in increasing access to intervention. The ADAM network, which Dr. Sell referred to, has concluded that there's a need for coordinated and serious response to improve lives of people with ASDs. And that leads us to the CDC's Learn the Signs, Act Early program. Learn the Signs is one of two activities that's conducted at CDC with funds provided through the Combating Autism Initiative, and those are for surveillance and public awareness. So the work that's done on Learn the Signs is designed to improve early identification of children with autism and other developmental disabilities so children and families can get the services and support they need as early as possible. And what you probably can't see, because that poster is small and also because it's written in Spanish, is that what it says, though, is that it's time to change the way we think about a child's development. And so that was the focus of the very early parts of our work, is working on the just to learn the signs. And now we've kind of shifted into the act early phase because people are starting to change the way they look at a child's development. We're not just talking about height and weight. We're really interested in looking at social, emotional, language, communication, cognitive development, and a lot of our messages and materials are designed to help our target audiences do just that. We have three components: a health education campaign, and again, that's where we have the really neat materials and messages to promote awareness. The pictorial that's there is a developmental chart that's more like a game board, and again, if you got up close, you would see that each of those little babies links to a particular milestone and is an easy way for parents to track their child's development. The other component that we work on is research and evaluation. There are two main areas. One is to increase understanding of factors that influence early identification and referral, both the referral practices and identification practices on the part of providers and also on the part of parents to seek referrals and to seek help when they first have a concern about their child. And the other is to evaluate our messages and strategies and make sure we really are doing what we said we're going to do. The third piece is the Act Early Initiative. One of the things that we realized early on is that this is, because it's such a broad and complex problem, that if we're really going to make a difference with a theoretically and literally a very small amount of funding that goes to Learn the Signs and a small team of people, is that what we really want to do ultimately is improve early childhood systems. So we do that in collaboration with other programs. One of the things that happened early on with our work is that people started saying, well, what if you do a better job at getting this information out and improving early identification? Well, so what? And people started talking about all the barriers because of lack of availability in the community, long wait times, etc. So we really started looking at how to impact systems at the federal level, and then to see how we could move that to what actually happens in states and local communities, and down to the level where it really will make a difference for children and families. So what we've started through a number of collaborative activities is to improve systems collaboration by bringing together key stakeholders in early identification for children with ASD and other developmental disabilities. And I will say that that is the framework for all of our work. The idea is that we have a focus on identifying children with autism, but we also have that broader mission of identifying young children with developmental disabilities, and we feel like if we cast a broad enough net and get enough children screened and seen and parents understand what the signs are, that we will do that, but that we'll also impact the greatest number of children and families. The collaborative efforts have been multiple. MCHB and CDC have an autism workgroup that meets quarterly. There's been a development of an autism case training. Dr. Sell was involved in writing one of the case modules, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little while. There have been funding, state demonstration projects through HRSA and MCHB to promote the work of our Act Early teams. AmCHIP has also contributed to that funding of grants. And then there have been several initiatives through the Act Early initiative, and I'm going to talk more about these in detail. Regional summits, Act Early teams, and what we call Act Early ambassadors. What I also hope that you might take away from this presentation is that this model that has been developed and continually evolved is one that we believe can be very useful to others around other public health initiatives, other MCH initiatives, because the same idea of bringing together key stakeholders, developing common messages, and really involving the community as much as possible is one that's very effective. So we've started with the Act Early initiative at the regional, at the federal level with regional summits, and summits were held between 2007 and 2010 in all 10 HHS regions. There were 55 teams representing 49 states and 6 U.S. territories with over 800 attendees. Teams, multidisciplinary teams were developed, and there was pre-summit work to have each team come to the summit with a logic model in place and an inventory, if you will, of what the current resources were in terms of people and supports and what some of the gaps were in their states. As a result of that summit work, there are now Act Early state teams who are working actively at the state level starting in 2008 through now. And right now there are 45 active teams, and others are either in development or have merged with broader state autism initiatives. And the ones that are not actually active as an Act Early team, many of them have become the early identification or early childhood arm of a state autism team. We're trying to sustain the interest both at the federal and the state level. Currently with AmCHIP Act Early grants, there have been AUCD mini grants to teams, and we have two new programs that I'll talk a little bit more about. Each of the state teams received a very small amount of support to come to the summits. The teams that applied for AUCD mini grants received, again, a small amount of financial support. And the exciting thing to us is that the teams have continued to work because they've really found benefit in this without a lot of financial support. So some of the highlights of what's happened as a result of these summits and Act Early teams is that it did provide a forum to improve system collaboration. It informed future directions for our awareness and ACT Early activities, strengthened collaboration between HRSA, MCH, and CDC, and supported development of new partnerships and innovative strategies. This is similar to the list that Treby presented in terms of what's going on in states, not the same activities, but these are, I've tried to cluster these around the types of activities. So as you know, one of our focuses in the ACT Early is on early identification and screening. So some of the key activities that states have done and some of the actual really incredible outcomes, in my opinion, in a short period of time are around developmental and ASD screenings in community and medical settings. So in Kansas, they literally have been able to reduce wait time for diagnostic assessments. They set up regional diagnostic teams, which had not been in place before. And this came because all the people who were key in this effort were in the same room at the same time and said, oh, we could do this. We could shift to do this and this. And they've documented that. In Oklahoma, there's now MCHAT screening that's mandatory at 18 months within the Part C early intervention system. New Hampshire targeted MCHAT training and screening to increase identification of homeless children and children living in poverty. Connecticut, through a collaborative effort with two of the major universities, Yale and the University of Connecticut, are developing statewide ASD screening guidelines. Kentucky just completed training on ASD screening for the early intervention system personnel and other community providers. They were very quick because of this collaborative system to be able to jump on the bandwagon, and in the new Part C regulations, screening became one of the activities that Part C teams are supposed to be involved with, and so they've already had 2 days of training. Some of the teams have also worked on training clinicians and community providers. Florida created a flowchart to help professionals in the state navigate systems. South Carolina has done a similar roadmap. Part of one of the barriers that states identified was that if a child was identified, providers didn't know exactly where to refer to or how to make those connections. So teams are trying to do that. And South Carolina also conducted STAT-MD training where they gave kits to providers, and that has actually increased the number of children being screened in their state. Other states have worked on resources for families. New Mexico created a navigation wheel. It's also being used in well-child checkups and has developmental and health information. And Alaska customized our materials to reach Native populations and underserved communities. And a lot of states have taken our materials and customized them. I do want to show you this one. First of all, it's absolutely adorable. But also, one of the things that was interesting in talking about the whole idea for making materials more relevant to certain groups is that we had in our Milestones Moments, which is one of our newer pieces, a lot of pictures of children outside in the summer. And they said this just really wasn't relevant to our state. So in addition to pictures of Alaska Native children, there's a lot of pictures of kids outside in snowsuits, playing in the snow, and fishing, actually. A lot of children fishing. So this was a really, really nice piece. As a way of extending the work of the ACT Early teams and building leadership within our ACT Early network, in conjunction with ASCD and MCHB, we have launched an ambassador project. There are other programs within CDC and elsewhere that have utilized state expertise to be a sign or contact point within a state for different initiatives. And so building on that with EDI, Early Hearing and Detection Initiative, we started the Ambassador Project. The first year pilot began in June. It is a leadership and professional development opportunity. It's a way for people to promote Learn the Signs ACT Early in their states and also support ACT Early teams, as well as to make additional connections with other programs that serve young children and their families. We've now moved on to phase two. The first phase was just extended to go through December. And We have a new group. If anyone's interested in applying or knows of someone who might be in a state, the application is on the AUCD website, and the application deadline is November 18th. The current group of ambassadors represent 10 states. We have one per state, and those are the states that have an ambassador now. And the people who we've chosen represent a variety of settings, disciplines, and roles. We have people who are at USEDS and LENS, as well as university departments of special education, medical centers, children's hospitals, and others. The disciplines include developmental pediatrics, psychology, early childhood special education. We also have people who are involved with advocacy, public awareness, and family members are represented as well. Through the program, we developed 18 competencies in three areas since it's a professional development and training opportunity. The ambassadors participate in monthly calls where there's a speaker, a formal presentation, a time for them to discuss. They also participate in other ACT Early webinars and training. And they have each developed a work plan. And through that, in addition to activities that they carry out, we also want them to develop these competencies around knowledge, communication, and training. And the quotes that are here are from the first quarterly report that people submitted that we are using as part of our evaluation strategy. I'll just give you one example, the third one for training. The ambassador training and use of the ACT Early curriculum really increased my comfort providing training in all areas related to milestones, what to do if you have a concern, early warning signs, helping parents navigate the system, and using Learn the Signs campaign materials. Prior to starting, each of the ambassadors came to Atlanta and did a two-day training at CDC. Part of that training included public speaking, giving them a resource manual, a slide library, training with our media and communications people who will work in our center, and a resource toolkit that they can use with printed materials from Learn the Signs ACT Early. Some of the things that they've done already in a very short period of time cover five areas: public awareness and information dissemination, promoting and using the ACT curriculum, which I'll talk about in a minute, partnering with the state ACT Early team, education and training, conducting workshops for a variety of partners, and partnership building and collaboration in general. So, for example, with the partnership building, with this particular ambassador, this was in Massachusetts, they had identified a lack of involvement from the Hispanic community. And we know that this is a group that is one of the underserved populations. So they've had meetings, and they're also in the process of developing a video, a photo novella, that will be used to talk about Learn the Signs with that population. The case training that I've referred to several times is up on our website now. It has gone live and includes a series of seven cases and video selections, and I wanted to highlight it because all of this information is free in the public domain. The video selections are things that you might want to use in training and relate to the module content. If I had more time, I would go into it in more depth. We also, as a way of trying to look at the ACT Early teams, what kind of progress they're having, and look at the impact of this initiative on state awareness, we're in the process of developing a rubric. It has objective performance criteria. It's to be used as a snapshot of current team progress. And the pilot was completed in October with ACT Early teams. We're going to be sharing it with state teams at the ACT Early meeting at the AUCD conference next week, and then it will go up on our website and on the AUCD website for state teams to use. These are the indicators. We're currently doing statistical analysis to try to predict significant criteria that might be more predictive of team success. That's really too preliminary at this point for me to present anything other than to say that we've seen some trends in which of these factors seem to be more predictive of team success than others, and hopefully that will continue. We did receive feedback from the people who piloted the team, and all said that they would use it and saw some utility for their team. And what was really neat was that the ways that people thought this could be useful was exactly what we were hoping that we would be able to do by providing these objective criteria, which included a way to focus attention on the big picture and the larger goals, useful for planning, setting objectives, and to enhance future efforts. Some of the future directions on that we're working with the Act Early Initiative is partnerships with national programs that serve young children and share our early identification and screening goals, such as WIC, Head Start, Help Me Grow, Home Visitor Program, and working closely with HRSA State Demonstration Program and AmCHIP grantees, TA, to support the work of the Act Early teams. We have a policy initiative looking at benchmarks for early childhood systems, and that policy meeting is coming up at the end of this month, and there are plans underway for a future Act Early meeting. If you're interested in finding out about activities in your state, if you go to our website, and the website address is on the next slide, there is a map, an interactive map, that if you click on your state, it will tell you what activities have taken place in your state and will also give you the contact for the Act Early team lead, and also the contact information for the ambassador if you're in a state that has an Act Early ambassador. If you go to our website, cdc.gov, Act Early, you can get information about the Learn the Signs Act Early campaign, downloadable materials, lots of other really good information, and more information on the Act Early Initiative, the Ambassador Project, and the application that I mentioned before are on the Act Early site on the AUCD website, auc.org/Act Early.
All right. Thank you very much, Carol.
Trust that.
Yes.
You have time to...
Oh, questions? Yes, please.
There's some. Given that there may be differences in symptom expression across populations, in looking at screening and early detection, is there any evidence or are there studies to suggest that screening may not be equally effective across populations? So is it that all populations aren't being screened in the same frequency, or that even when screened, certain populations aren't detected?
So the question was, are there differences in screening outcomes as well as screening practices? And I have to say that as far as the practices, yes, there are, and that's why we're really trying to reach out to populations that we know are among those that are identified later and so on. But as far as the other, I don't know. That's more of the work. There are some papers published on that, on differential diagnoses and screening outcomes through ADAM, but that's not my work. I don't know if any of my colleagues would want to address that. There was another question.
Is each state limited to only one ambassador?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you get rid of the other person?
Well, I'll filter. I was going to say it's sort of like husbands, but no. I can talk to you privately, but hopefully the work of the ambassador would be, let me just take a step back and just say that part of the application process is that the person who's applying puts their own name forward, but that they're asked to get the support of their institution where they work and also through their Act Early team. So hopefully the people that are working in that role are people who are closely aligned with their state team and already have developed good working relationships, and that would continue to improve as they move forward and get more training and continue in that role.
But there's room for involvement in through the team.
Absolutely. Yes, and anyone who's welcome to get involved in an Act Early team, and we would really welcome it. So if the information that I provided doesn't give you enough information, you can always contact me or, again, my colleagues at AUCD, and we'd be glad to talk with you.